Southerners love their breakfast, and that means they love their coffee. Today, we're going to talk coffee in the South. Some of the coastal places have their own take and flavor. So grab your favorite cup, and I'll meet you at the table. I'm Lainey.
And I'm Laura Beth.
And we are
Steel Magnolias.
The strength of steel with the grace of a magnolia. We are here to have uplifting conversations about life in the South.
And we've got plenty of room at our table. So pull up a chair.
I can't believe it's taken us this long to get to Southerners and their coffee, because I love coffee.
So it's really funny, but this was actually somebody's recommendation of a subject.
Yes.
That travels a lot in the South. And I said, hey, let me know if you've got any ideas of topics. You know, I know you travel a lot.
Right.
And this guy said, have you done one on coffee in the South? And I was like, no, that's so funny.
Yeah. So we're going to talk a little later in the episode about some specific roasted varieties of coffee.
Yeah.
But just culturally, this is a huge piece of culture.
Because we eat breakfast in a hearty way in the South,
yes.
I would say.
Yes. Southern breakfast being a very important part, and hospitality.
Right. So coffee, tea.
I think that, you know, we talk a lot about hospitality on this podcast, and it is itself a huge part of Southern culture, but like the breaking of bread and serving a meal, but then also serving
dessert
coffee
or
to your guest is a huge piece of hospitality. It's comforting. It's easy. It's so easy.
Yeah.
It does not need to be complicated. It works as a standalone. You can just come over for coffee, or
that's
you can have, you could just serve coffee. You don't even have to have nibbles with it. You can, bonus points if you do. But it can be served in the morning, afternoon.
I'm not an evening coffee drinker very much, but some people are.
I would definitely say if you're going to serve coffee anytime after 2 p.m., have a decaf option for those of us that are highly affected by caffeine. But it is a staple to life in the South. I think you even see it in the growth of coffee shops here. I was cracking up because I wrote out my notes for this episode while sitting in a coffee shop.
Oh, okay.
And I had three great coffee shops to choose from in a 1 mile radius.
Wow.
And that was not even counting the two Starbucks that are in that same 1 mile.
Okay.
That's a lot of concentrated, you know,
and that's probably
shops.
Not even including restaurants that have coffee that aren't coffee shops.
Exactly.
I mean,
because
pretty much every restaurant.
Yeah.
Though I do have a funny story.
Okay.
I went to a coffee shop in Nashville at circa 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Okay.
Meeting a mutual friend of ours. And I walked, and I'd never been in this coffee shop. So, you know, it takes me a little minute to look at the menu. What are my choices here? And I really just wanted to put a little cream and sugar in just a cup of coffee.
Brewed coffee.
I didn't need a macchiato or
no espresso based, just coffee.
I'm sorry, we don't brew coffee.
I
think that we stopped brewing coffee at 2 or something. I can't remember. Now, this coffee shop is open.
It's a coffee shop.
But I guess most people get the fancy things.
That is hilarious.
And so I literally said to the guy, so you're telling me I'm in a coffee shop, but I can't get a cup of regular coffee. And he just laughed like, yeah, that's what I'm telling you.
Yep. Wow.
So sometimes we get too fancy for our own good.
For sure.
Come on.
Yeah. I mean, I especially crack up when I think about like the old men that are gathered around in gas stations having a cup of coffee once a week together.
Yes.
Or
I mean,
every day. Our
dad would much rather have a coffee from McDonald's than...
Oh, for sure.
And that's twofold. He doesn't want to pay $4.
It's a price thing for sure.
But he likes the coffee at McDonald's.
He also doesn't.
Why would he...
Yeah.
Steer away from that.
Yeah, because I've been in coffee shops with our dad and been loving my drink. It's some sort of, you know, fancy latte. Dad, you would love this. Taste it. It has cinnamon in it or something that I know he loves.
No, he wants just a
cup
of coffee.
Not really. So I started drinking coffee in college, yes, as is the case.
Yes, I did as well.
Okay, I was going to say, I feel like this is probably a lot of people's story. And it was mostly a crossover from hot chocolate into, I started with cafe mocha,
okay,
which had chocolate syrup at the bottom.
That's hilarious.
You know, so it's in the drink, but it's espresso based. So, you know, it gave
helped you get your study on.
Gave a little caffeine jolt, but it was still kind of just a glorified hot chocolate because they would put whipped cream on it. Oh, I so got fun. It at the Barnes & Noble that I would go to often because it had a built-in cafe.
Okay.
So I wasn't even in a true coffee shop at this point.
Yeah, coffee shops really weren't much of a thing in college yet when I was there. So
I do remember thinking, wow, people go to Panera Bread to study?
Yeah.
Because that was the closest thing to a coffee house we really had. We did have one on campus called the Golden Roast, which was an authentic coffee house, and it played jazz music, and it was just fun. Fabulous. But I didn't really want to study there. I just wanted to hang out with friends there. So, yeah, I would say as studies became later in the night.
Right. And you needed that jolt.
Subject matters became less interesting in trying to fulfill courses. Then I was kind of really just looking more for caffeine, and I didn't need all the whipped cream.
Sweet. And, yeah.
So then I kind of graduated to, like, cream and sugar. And I don't remember how much I did, but
that's where I started. Like, I don't remember ever drinking
lattes or
and all of that.
Okay, so you just did cream and sugar to begin with.
Yeah,
in college.
Yeah, I mean, maybe even those, which I don't like now, flavored creamers.
You don't like flavored creamers anymore?
Well, I mean, there's a couple of them that I like.
This is shocking and newsworthy to me.
No, I can taste the chemicals.
Oh, okay.
So I mostly like
makes sense
half and half.
And so we're talking like Coffee Mate.
Yeah, brands. Like there's a couple of them I can do. But yeah, for the most part,
yeah,
a lot of those.
That is
caramel this or
yes,
peppermint
seasonal things or
mocha.
Fun. Yeah. Okay.
I can kind of, I don't know, taste the chemicals or something. I don't know.
Interesting. Well, so over the years, I have lessened my cream and sugar into, I'm straight up black coffee now, which is just how I absolutely love it. And I would say I'll take hot tea as well.
Oh, me too. Depends.
But if I'm given
on the day,
if I'm given the choice, I'm always going to opt for coffee.
Yeah.
That's where I'm
a
at.
Coffee in the morning, unless I'm sick, and then I might want
ginger
tea or something. But if I'm just a normal morning, I want coffee.
That's true. For healing properties, I always switch over to tea.
To tea.
Yes.
But if it's, you know, a winter evening, I love a tea.
Yeah, that's so true.
So
I love
evening,
it.
Evening, I'm probably more tea.
I love it when you go to restaurants like a Waffle House or a Cracker Barrel and the
bottomless too.
The waitress, you know? Like you could be just three sips in. Can I top you off?
Right.
Can I warm you up? And, you know, it's
because
just
they want know you want it hot.
They know you want it hot, but it's harder to keep track of how many cups you've had or how much you've actually consumed them.
And let me just say another thing that literally just came in my mind. The cup matters that you drink out of.
For sure.
Like, I see so many cutesy cups, but they're real big.
Like the Friends coffee cups
that
became so popular with the
show. That is
show.
Too big because your coffee's cold. Five sips in.
But do you remember how popular those were from the show Friends?
Oh, yeah.
At Central Perk, where they sat on the show for three-fourths of their time, it seems like. Their
coffee
cups.
How they paid their New York rent.
Right.
Anyway.
They were so big, and that got so popular. You know, green with white polka dots, just like they had on the show.
So funny.
So impractical. You're right. Smaller
cups.
So
I like a small cup that fits well in my hand.
Yeah.
And
Yeah. Yeah.
And Waffle House and places like that, their cups are usually not real big.
Yes.
So your coffee is nice and hot.
Yeah.
They know.
And a lot of China sets have smaller cups.
Yes.
Sometimes they're wider, so it is still getting pretty cool fast. But for the most part, most China sets have real small
smaller
coffee
You're right.
teacups.
Well, when I think of like a city that has a coffee culture, I think of like the Northwest cold, rainy cities
for sure.
of Seattle and
for
Portland,
sure.
right?
Yes.
But apparently, according to Lonely Planet,
okay.
I found an article that was five Southeast cities with a strong coffee culture. So maybe we can link to the article in the show notes.
Okay.
But do you have any guesses on what cities might be?
So this is all across the South?
Southeast.
I feel like it's going to be only big cities because that's going to have an influx of people from other places.
I guess it depends on your definition of big. Some are bigger than others. Do you want me just to tell you?
Atlanta. Does Atlanta have a strong... Okay.
According to them, Atlanta.
Raleigh. No.
Durham.
Close enough. Durham. Raleigh, Durham. That's hot. That rolls off my tongue. Okay. What else is on the list?
Nashville.
I know. I never want to say Nashville because I feel
it was in there.
Cheating for me to know my
Chattanooga,
own city.
Tennessee got two.
Now that's interesting.
And Tampa, Florida.
Okay.
So of the five, two were Tennessee. I thought that was really funny. Interesting. And Atlanta. Yeah. But
well, I would say as a host, so we always just love to give y'all some practical things. Have on hand some creamer options. I'm sort of preaching this to myself since I drink it black. I don't have creamer options. I was surprised to hear you say you didn't like those others because I always am disappointed when I want to serve you coffee at my house. I'm like, I don't have any flavored creamers she loves.
Half and half.
So, but also if you want to go really the extra mile, have a dairy and a non-dairy.
Yeah. Now, option. See, I love some soy milk and almond milk. Creamer
and oat milk.
Those are great.
Oat milk makes for a good creamer in coffee. So yeah, just having a couple of options. Most people have sugar in their pantry, so I don't feel like that's something that you need to necessarily be on the lookout for if you're having people over and serving coffee. I love this little set I got as a wedding gift.
It's so cute.
It's from Pottery Barn and it has a saucer for the cream and a little thing for the honey with the little wooden What are those called? Little wooden spool kind of thing.
Right. That help it.
For the honey. And then one little sugar with the cutest little sugar spoon, you know, for dispensing. So
cute. You know, Costco sells those creamers. They don't just have to, they're not the flavor. Well, they might have the flavor, but individual.
And they don't have to be refrigerated, do they?
They don't have to be refrigerated, which is so unusual to me.
Yeah,
I'm sure they
right.
have an expiration, but I think it's pretty lengthy.
It's like I would look at that like evaporated milk. It's not evaporated milk, what you're talking about, but like in the same
and
way.
So, for instance, our friend Diana, she often would host Bible studies.
Okay.
And I don't think she drinks creamer. Okay. So she would buy that.
That's smart.
And that way, it's not always going bad in the refrigerator because she doesn't drink it.
That's
and
so
she can
smart.
Just grab some, throw those in a bowl, and
that's so
keep
smart.
That out. So that's a nice tip if you're hosting
I should do
and
that.
Don't use it.
I should do that. I could put that in the pantry next to all the gummy bears and peanut butter crackers that we fruit snacks.
Vitamins.
Fruit snacks. We've got fruit snacks we've bought in bulk for lunches. My favorite thing, though, is after a delicious meal out at a restaurant to linger at the table and have a French pressed cup of coffee that's super hot, let my food digest, enjoy the company I'm with. I think I actually learned this pretty well studying abroad, not in the South, in Spain and all over Europe that
they
does
have a coffee,
coffee
culture.
So well.
Yeah.
We have a lot we could learn from them, but they definitely know how to make it an experience. There is no rush of checks or payment for your meal.
In fact, they laugh about that.
Yeah.
You know, being here.
Yeah.
That we're so
quick
to get to something, the next thing.
So they've definitely perfected the art of not being in a hurry at their table. But I just love having coffee after
at
a meal.
At the end of a nice meal.
Even if I'm not having dessert, honestly. I mean, it goes really well with dessert. In fact, I wonder if I should say a couple of things that I jotted down that I think go best with
it.
Coffee.
Because I didn't think of this.
I found a fun article that is called Best Southern Foods to Eat with Coffee.
That's hilarious. Okay.
I mean, and it's all over the place because it was...
Well, even for breakfast, I do love coffee if I'm having a sweet something, like a donut or a scone.
Yes.
I think coffee's so good with
it is. It's like the bitter and the sweet. So buttermilk biscuits...
Okay.
Beignets. Oh. Come on with it. We're going to be talking about New Orleans
That's
here in a second.
Donut, too.
Yeah. Coffee cake.
Yes.
Any Southern breakfast, though, you know, eggs, bacon, you know, whatever you think of as a large Southern breakfast. And then my favorite, pound cake.
Okay.
Love.
So good.
Pound cake and coffee.
I have some news that I just saw yesterday. I don't know if you've seen this yet.
Okay, no, probably not.
You said coffee cake and pound cake, so I'm just going to mention this. White Lily has come out with, I believe it's 5 cake mixes.
Really?
This is brand new. And, you know, they just do baking so well.
Their
flour's so yummy. So they have a pound cake, a lemon pound cake, a coffee cake. I can't remember the other two. There was like 5 choices. And
I'm not eating sweets right now. And this is just devilish.
They're brand new cake mixes. So we love White Lily.
That's so good.
Those would be so good with coffee.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of thing, there again, we like giving y'all hospitality tips. You could keep on hand. And I bet you all you add is milk and eggs or something along those lines.
True.
So that if somebody is coming and you're not ready,
yeah,
you could at least quickly put together a coffee cake or a pound cake.
Yeah, that's good. I like that. Chess pie. Come on with it. I'm still kind of on southern foods, but I'm just going to link to the article and y'all can read some other southern foods that go really well with coffee.
Well, there's a couple of places in the South that have their own kind of twist in coffee.
Oh yeah.
Should we go there?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
So if you've ever been to New Orleans, there's a famous place there for beignets and coffee called Café du Monde.
Yes.
That was the first place I had ever even heard of chicory coffee.
Right. Yes. The first beignet I'd ever tasted was there.
And that was, yes. And so, but apparently chicory is a popular ingredient, like a mixture in coffee. In New Orleans.
Yes.
And so I even kind of wanted to talk about the why of that.
Go for it.
So apparently it's unclear as to exactly when and why chicory started being put in coffee. But it became particularly popular in 19th century France after Napoleon initiated the Continental Blockade. This trade blockade caused a major coffee shortage in France there at that time. And so to make their coffee supplies stretch, the French began roasting, grinding, and mixing chicory root in with their coffee.
Interesting. But so, I'm still always taken with...
How they say...
Necessity
is the mother of invention.
It is. But why... I'm always like, why chicory? Why not, you know... the peelings of a sweet potato
how did they know?
How did they know?
Well, that's a good question. I don't have that answer.
Right. No,
but maybe just it was already being roasted and ground and they were thinking, this is similar. Let's put some in.
It is sort of, I think like kind of like a carrot.
So apparently, yes, it's kind of similar to a sugar beet.
Okay.
And so the root is pulled from the ground with specialized equipment and cut into small pieces.
Yep, yep.
And then kiln dried.
Okay.
Roasted and ground and packaged.
Fired. Okay.
So, there you have it. I guess that process was already happening and then they thought this can make our coffee go further.
Okay.
But it also has some amazing healing benefits. Chicory does.
That.
So just quickly, here's a few things I read. It's used against pulmonary consumption and jaundice and liver enlargement. It's used as a laxative because it works without irritation.
Wow.
Increases bile production, moderates a rapid heart rate, lowers cholesterol. I mean, these are great benefits.
A lot of doctors do say, in moderation, of course, that coffee
can be good for you.
Well, this sounds even better. Real good for you.
And I believe, you know, what you see in New Orleans is a mixture. It's not just chicory, not just coffee. It's chicory coffee.
Yes.
Where it's kind of a mix of both.
And I would say even, the Café du Monde is the brand to get. I would feel like...
That's the only one I've ever had that was chicory. I've bought it before, too.
That's on grocery store shelves. Don't know how wide their distribution is, but they themselves make their own coffee.
Well, I thought that made sense that this would come out of France, being that you see it in New Orleans because there's mm-hmm. so much French influence. But apparently it wasn't until the American Civil War that coffee and chicory became popular here. Mm-hmm. There again, same thing.
We don't have enough coffee, so what can we do?
The Union naval blockades cut off the port of New Orleans and one of the largest importers of coffee, you know, at the time.
Yeah.
And so those desperate people down there in Louisiana said, hey, we know what to do.
That's so great.
Our ancestors had to do this before. We'll stretch our supply by adding chicory back in. So there you have it.
And now we've got this wonderful brew that we can get health benefits from. So yeah, so fun.
That's a Southern specific thing.
Ray Thompson, who wrote daily for years for the Biloxi Daily Herald, stated, the charm of chicory is the bold, distinctly different taste which it gives a coffee. A taste which first annoys, then tempts, and finally turns you into one of those ardent devotees who think pure coffee is dishwater.
Oh my gosh, that's funny.
I thought that was fun.
Isn't that the way it is with something that's different? Like at first you're kind of like, well, coffee in general to me.
Yeah.
I remember as a little kid, you know, your parents would drink coffee and let me try it. And it's like, oh, this is disgusting.
Yes. Yes.
Because you just don't have a taste for it yet.
And then there's another one.
There is. So again, this is another thing that came out of kind of tragedy, I guess you could say. Down in Miami, you will see a strong Cuban influence on food in general.
Yes.
But that includes coffee.
Yes.
There, in 1959, there was a Cuban revolution.
Oh, okay.
That kickstarted kind of a huge migration of people coming into the United States. And because the climate was similar and it was close and there was a Latino Spanish speaking population,
they were like, we like it here.
We like Miami.
Yes.
You know, so that makes sense. Well, those who lived under Castro's rule had experienced they call it a nationalization of food when there's like food rations.
Oh.
And coffee, you could only get, I believe, what did I read? 4 ounces of coffee a month.
That's nothing.
So to make the small amount last as long as possible, they added toasted chickpeas to ground coffee.
Okay.
And the serving size were kept really small.
Okay.
So those things, again, came out of that. Was the reasoning. And this became their coffee preparation that you still see in Miami. And there's 3 particular drinks that are really popular in that area that I just thought I would mention quickly.
Yeah.
So, and I hope I pronounced them right. The Colada, or it's also known as a Cafe Cubano.
Okay.
Or Cuban espresso. It's a strong and sweet drink consisting of dark roasted double espresso, plenty of sugar, and espumita topping. I don't know what that is.
Okay.
Unless, I don't know.
Either.
It's a really small serving.
Yes.
Intense, and you know, the bitterness is kind of balanced with the sugar. So that's one of their popular drinks. A cortadito. I hope I'm saying that right. It means small cut. Is made with half coffee and half milk and resembles a macchiato.
Okay.
As far as that amount of milk that's in it. The milk can be replaced with evaporated milk.
Okay.
And
our mom would like that.
She would probably like this. It makes it thicker and more intense. And also sometimes condensed milk is used
like
for
sweetened?
A more dessert-like beverage, which that's how I've heard of Cuban coffee, is where they put the condensed milk in there. And then there's a cafe con leche, which translates to coffee with milk.
Yes.
And it differs from those other two. It's more like a cappuccino. It's steamed milk instead of milk froth.
Okay.
So those are just a few things
that
you
cracks
might
me
see.
Up so much hearing you say cafe con leche, because I feel like that was all I knew and was comfortable ordering in Spain, and I always got something different.
Oh, that's
like
funny.
I never really,
because everybody makes things their own way.
Yes, and so I was like, well,
So this one makes
There's no reason to even try and learn the other words here because
I'll get something different.
Cafe con leche is producing different things everywhere I go.
No, that's funny. Well, that's some of the things you might see in Miami, which I know it's questionable if we even truly call that the South, but it is in the regional. It's in the region.
Oh, yeah. So. Yeah. Well, and I was cracking up as I was even doing some notes for this discussion, because if you come to Franklin, where we live, and are on the lookout for celebrities or artists, coffee shops are their offices. And that is the place
that is so
to
funny.
See a celebrity. If you're looking for just a general spot, it's not on Broadway in our honky tonks.
No.
It's at coffee shops here in Franklin. I've spotted Keith Urban and Nicole Kidman in
a coffee shop. Separately, right?
Separately and together. That was at a Starbucks. Countless Christian artists, many speakers.
Oh, and yeah.
Just public figures yeah. that I know.
Christian speakers.
They don't have offices. Kinds. Their office is the local coffee shop,
wherever
so that's where they take their meetings. So if it's a weekday, hey, be on the lookout. That's a great place to see a celebrity. I also thought it was fun just to even think about this time of year. One other food that's fun to consume with coffee is king cake.
Oh, yes.
We're almost to the end of where those that are partaking of king cake.
We did an episode
eating
on Mardi Gras,
yeah,
where we talked a lot about
yeah.
the king cake and the baby inside yep. and why and all of that.
Sort of from the epiphany that many celebrate in January all the way through Mardi Gras, you're going to see bakeries, especially in New Orleans, producing that cinnamon yummy cake
yes,
that is
the
king cake.
Pretty colors on top.
Well, I would just say, in closing, if you'd like to try some coffee brewed in the South, I know we didn't go into any list of roasters all across the South, but if you want to get some Southern coffee mailed to you, I found a great article from Garden and Gun that has some lists of the top places that will roast and mail, that they ship.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
And so I'll put those in the show notes, but don't think that's what us Southerners exclusively
We're
drink.
Probably...
We're Folgers lovers as well down here. I love Dunkin' Donuts coffee.
I love Dunkin' Donuts coffee too.
Yeah, I don't just exclusively purchase the Southern roasters. So, but if that's something of interest to you, I'll put that link in the show notes
that's
as well.
Fun. Well, how fun.
Well, now I'm craving sweets and coffee. So I'm sure many of you listening have wanted to turn your car around from your commute and wish that you'd grabbed a second cup, but... Hopefully that was a fun discussion for you. And until next time, Lainey, peace be with you.
And also with y'all.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. It's the Sleep Number Everything Smart Bed Sale. Every smart bed and base are on sale during our Memorial Day event. Up to 50% off, plus free home delivery. Limited time. Exclusively to Sleep Number store near you. Learn more at sleepnumber.com.